Hi, I'm Natalie.
I'm Lena.
And I'm Sean. We are three friends who all love film and thought it would be cool to discuss movies from our perspective.
We rate movies in terms of how drunk you need to be to enjoy them. We call it the Martini Scale.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Lena, I just saw you drinking something and it was like, so Lena has this weird like beach background and she kind of like fades into it because she's not on like a proper green screen. And so it's like,
I'm in South Africa.
Is that what that is?
You don't recognize that from her trip?
I don't.
I posted this on Instagram.
I have no idea what that is.
And posted it on another Instagram.
Yes,
and
you posted it like 2 years ago on Instagram. I'm supposed to remember what you posted 2 years ago on Instagram.
Yes, I remember it. Beautiful.
Okay, let's calm down.
Anyways, I discovered that I had this as a background and I decided to use it today.
I'm actually excited. I mean, it's a gorgeous shot. Did you take that picture?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But beautiful. This looks like a painting.
It does, with like the waves splashing in the background.
Yeah,
it's very, very,
you know,
no filter, baby. That's what it looked like.
Okay.
Gorgeous.
Natalie, I like the candle in the background for you. I wish we did this on YouTube so that people could see us because
I mean,
someone else asked me, why don't we do this on YouTube? And I was like, no one wants to see this mug.
Natalie now is in San Francisco.
Now I decided to go to San Francisco for this podcast.
I like it.
Everybody's flirting with Zoom backgrounds. I've just got my living room behind
me. But yours looks, yours is better than mine. Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's like the newer.
Is this because it's my own picture?
Maybe.
That's weird. Yours looks so much better.
Okay. But people have no idea what the fuck we're talking about, so we should probably move on. Okay.
Everyone's played around with their own Zoom backgrounds. We know.
Yeah.
All right. So we are still... We're still virtual. I mean, Lena's in another country at this point, so we're
virtual for the
Natalie's office is
of the Martini Scale.
Natalie's office is infested with COVID, so we're going back to the virtual world. And we are going back to actually reviewing movies because this is what the podcast was originally about, and so we figured we'd actually do an episode about current movies now. So you're welcome.
There's finally a current or two movie out.
There are. So in this episode, we're talking about Black Widow and A Quiet Place 2. I guess we'll just do the intro. Let's go into it.
Get into it.
So Black Widow is a 2021 superhero film from Marvel Comics. I'm already drunk, by the way. We've been talking
when
and drinking.
Talking, my headphones were like pounding to the base of your voice.
Okay. Pounding
so
to the
maybe
base.
I'm
I like
drunk
that.
Too.
I like that. Okay. It's produced by Marvel Studios and distributed by Walt Disney Studios. It's the 24th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's kind of crazy. It was directed by Kate Shortland from a screenplay by Eric Pearson. It stars, whom I love, Scarlett Johansson, alongside Florence Pugh, David Harbour, and Rachel Weisz. It is set promptly. I love that it's promptly. It's set promptly after the events of Captain America's Civil War, and it sees Black Widow on the run and forced to confront a conspiracy tied to her past. Black Widow is currently in theaters and streaming on Disney Plus. Can't wait to talk about that part of it. We're also going to talk today about A Quiet Place 2, which is a 2021, let's be honest, it's a 2020 horror film, and it's the sequel to 2018's Quiet Place, and it follows the family from the first film as they continue to navigate and survive in a post-apocalyptic world inhabited by blind aliens with an acute sense of hearing. The film was written, produced, and directed by John Krasinski, and it stars Emily Blunt. Oh my God, what's her name?
Millicent Simmons.
Millicent? I thought you said it was something else. No. Oh, Millicent Simmons. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Noah Jupe. And they all reprise their... I'm a little tipsy. I'm not going to lie.
They reprise their roles
from the first film. Quiet Place 2 is currently in theaters and is streaming on Paramount Plus. It is also available for purchase on digital platforms. On that note... Natalie, what are we drinking? I thought it was going to be called The Quiet Widow when I saw the picture of this, and I'm it better be better than The Quiet
Widow's
Widow because,
Place.
No, it's not. And
did you name it after yourself again this time?
I almost did.
It's like it's the Michelle Place or something.
So because I came up with this when we were just going to do Black Widow and I like had a plan in mind of like how I wanted to execute it. So
we did add Quiet Place at the last minute because it was
when we added really A Quiet Place. I was like, well, I'm not folding in A Quiet Place to this.
Oh,
no,
shit.
Drink.
Okay.
Hold
on for a second before you go there. I want to give some context because this was just originally it was just going to be a Black Widow episode because we wanted to come back with like a new fresh movie, whatever. And Natalie saw Quiet Place in theaters. And Quiet Place actually, like, surprisingly appeared on streaming this week. And I thought, you know what? Let's do two movies that are both on streaming for the people. Because we've been waiting for A Quiet Place to come out for over a year now, right? And we wanted to talk about it last year. So I figured, let's just kill two birds with one stone. Here we are. Continue, Natalie.
So this is more specifically for Black Widow. And this is the Romanovsky.
I love it.
After Natasha Romanoff, who's the character that is also Black Widow.
So, okay. I mean, her name is Natasha, so it kind of was like, you know, Natalie. Anyways, so I did vodka, I did triple sec, I did fresh lemon juice, I did ginger liqueur, and then I blended it with some ice to make it really like a slushy. And then I got freeze-dried strawberries that I then put in my mortar and pestle. And then I cut out the Black Widow shape on a piece of paper. And then I sprinkled that
the hourglass powder shape.
Yeah. Like the Black Widow hourglass shape. I sprinkled that on top.
It looks great.
I love it.
So it's fun. Gorgeous martini. I will say it's stunning. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Delicious. So it kind of reminded me of her white, you know, battle suit and like the snow. And so I was like, this is perfect. Cause it's nice and crisp and cold and perfect. You know, yeah.
I mean, I love it. To be quite candid with you though, I'm going to continue to refer to it as the Quiet Widow. I think that's the best name for this martini. So thank you. If you decide you want to change that for the press this week, be my guest.
Probably not.
Okay. I'm gonna log into the Instagram and change it myself. It's fine.
Romanovsky is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So should we dive in? Because we've got two movies to talk about this week. I'm kind of excited about both of these movies. All right. Natalie, do you want to go first? We're gonna talk about Black Widow first. I think that's probably best to get that over with.
Oh gosh, how do we want to start? Are we going back to like our old format of like what we liked and what we didn't like?
I mean, who knows? Time doesn't exist anymore as far as I'm concerned. Okay. So we can just do whatever we want. It's who cares?
My eye keeps twitching. So I'm having a hard time.
Because you haven't been sleeping.
Your eye is twitching. You've got a Band-Aid across your forehead. Your microphone isn't working today. You're just a hot mess.
You're really having a rough week, babe.
It's not the greatest, you guys. I'm just going to admit.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
I will say, so we're gonna do Black Widow. Partially was I thinking when I was watching it at home, do I wish I was watching this in the theater? Kind of. When that Marvel title comes up and it's got that great like Marvel MCU company music, it's like I feel like I should be in the theater for this. Like it does give me that feeling of, you know,
for sure.
Cause it's always, there's a quality standard that they have with picture and sound for every product they put out. That is always a great experience in a theater.
I mean, in my defense, I did invite you over to watch it, but COVID, you might have COVID. So,
I don't think I do, which is good news. Good news. You know, it still was a good at-home experience because I have a nice setup. Thank you for my sponsor, Sean, my sugar daddy. And so, you know, it was still a good experience. The casting in this movie, I think, is probably my favorite part of the movie because some of it maybe got a little boring at times. And I think that there is something about Marvel that kind of quintessentially works like every time, and it's having those humorous moments. And with David Harbour and Florence Pugh and Scarlett kind of gave a couple moments of like humor, but not as much, you know, those are the really fun, enjoyable moments. That's what makes me really love Marvel movies. As much as I want to hate them, I like fall like hard for them. This wasn't like as Thor. Great as I, certainly not Thor, you know, doesn't have the humor that, you know, Robert Downey Jr. does in like everything he does. You know, so it was enjoyable. It felt like a big movie experience, but you know, there's still things where it's like, why does everybody know how to fly? And why can everybody just jump out of a helicopter and it's like, I'm going to fight this person in the middle of the air? It's like, you're not Superman. That drives me crazy.
They're not flying. They're skydiving.
I mean, the end was ridiculous. I'm sorry. I have to say the end is ridiculous. We'll get there in a minute, but
it's even like, you know, the Prison Break where it's like David Harbour's so funny and I enjoyed everything that was happening in there. But then it's like the helicopter and the rope swinging. And it's just like, can we come up with something new that is actually utilizing all of these very talented people? I don't want to see what you came up with on your computer like that. I don't know. That's just not, it's not as exciting to me. The people on screen that you've hired are paying millions of dollars. Those are the fun, exciting people. I want to see what they could do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Is that your assessment? Oh,
I know we're going to talk about her a lot, but
yeah, we are.
Within the few first scenes of Florence, and like, for instance, her making fun of the way she poses.
Poser.
I was like, this movie gets a pass. This is like already above 50% in my book, because she is so fucking funny and so great in this. Like, and her physicality and fighting was fantastic. Like, she was a great addition.
Yes.
But also the COVID bar is pretty low for movies right now. Let's be honest.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on that note, I just want to say that personally, I am over. And when I say over, I mean, I'm done. This is it for me. I'm overpaying $30 for mediocre Disney movies. Okay. Ooh, yes. I have now suffered through Mulan, which I just want to pretend that movie did not happen. Okay. Cruella, which I love Emma Stone. We're not going to talk about that one on this episode, but I'm giving Emma Stone a pass for Cruella. And then this one, I'm just like, I don't know. The thing with Disney that I'm kind of annoyed by, and I have to talk about this because it's been a part of a conversation on our show, right? Where we talk about, you know, streaming and where is the future? Is it theaters? Is it streaming? Is it paid streaming? Is it, you know, what does it look like? Personally, I want to say that I really think that Disney, and again, I'm obviously not an executive there making the decision, so it's fine. But I feel like they need to just make these movies part of their subscription like every other streaming service does, right? Yes. And we'll talk about that in a minute with Paramount Plus. But I don't know. It annoys me they make you pay like not just extra, but $30 extra for every single movie that you want to watch on there.
It doesn't cost that much a month.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, exactly. Like maybe pay like $5 or $4.95 or something.
Don't think they'd ever make enough money on
Disney. Disney
on these movies.
Come on, Natalie. Subscribers
only.
Fuck you. No, I'm sorry.
Huge global box office movies.
You should get a discount. If you're just coming in and buying the movie, fine, you pay $30. But if I'm a subscriber and I've been a subscriber for a year and a half, I don't want to pay $30.
Thank you. Now, listen, Natalie, I understand you're defending the industry. This movie made $200 million opening weekend. It's going to be fine. Like, they don't need to, like, and that's during COVID. They don't need to charge their subscribers who already are, like, part of their service, that are paying an annual fee of like hundreds of dollars, $30 more to watch every movie. I don't know. I mean,
I don't give Disney any of my goddamn money. I know you don't. So that is.
Yeah, I've been paying for all these. So you're welcome. Anyway, on that note, I will say, you guys know how much I love Scarlett Johansson. I found her to be so underwhelming in this film. Oh. I felt like she was phoning it in. I still can't reconcile my sadness from that, because I love her so much, and she may as well not even have been in this movie for me. On the other hand,
this should have been such a massive moment for her and for her character.
Oh, totally. 100%.
And for I don't know if there's like bitterness on the fact that this movie has like come of existence like multiple times and stopped multiple times, where it's like, you know, I don't know, maybe she kind of felt jerked around.
I mean, that's not my problem as an audience member, though. Like, as someone that's paying $30 to watch it, it's not my problem. Like, go figure it out, Scarlett. I also will say, I'm going to go on record. Did you just snort? Okay. I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to make a public apology. And I rarely do that, especially, like, in public on a podcast where there's, like, lots of people listening. But I will say that I want to go and publicly apologize about Florence.
Publicly apologize about
in a bag.
about Florence or Francis or whatever the fuck her name is.
Florence.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I think that it was phenomenal in this film. And you guys know how I feel about her. I find her generally underwhelming. This movie changed everything for me.
Fucking God.
And part of the reason I'm joking about that because I was literally texting everybody about the amazing performance from Florence and nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about.
But I thought that you had this feeling after Little Women.
Is it Florence or Francis?
Florence.
Okay. Why do you keep thinking it's Francis?
I don't know. It's the alcohol, probably. But
I thought you had this feeling after Little Women, though.
Okay, so Midsommar was my introduction to her, right? And I enjoyed Midsommar for what it was. Like, honestly, Midsommar.
She was great. The movie was fantastic.
Exactly.
She was amazing.
She was fine. But then Little Women, I don't know. I didn't see her with Timothy. It was kind of bothering me. I don't know. Whatever. That's anyway.
The whole point. That, yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Band-Aid.
Job well done.
I'm just saying
producers and actors and director.
I just want to say that I found her to be so charming and so hilarious. I mean, she literally, this movie would have like no comedic element to it without her. Like, she was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And I'm just going to go on record to say that. Is she getting her own movie?
It seems this like is
my
it.
Point.
I felt like if you watched through the credits toward like the very, very end, that she's like that's setting her up for her own.
That's the whole, I think, story of it all.
Yeah.
Is when you
or maybe
jump,
her show.
When you.
Oh, ooh, when, maybe a Disney Plus show that we're going to have to pay for.
When you realize the timeline of everything, you know what happens to Natasha.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've seen dies. This.
She dies in the Avengers.
Know that. Florence is taking that place. So
okay.
This is my whole thing. I'm going to cut you off a little bit, but like this is also why I think maybe Scarlett phoned in a little bit because she's done. Like,
and she was pissed that Scarlett got all the good lines and the jokes and the
Florence or oh, Francis, sorry. Whatever Francis. Version you want.
Francis.
God damn it. Yelena. Anyways. So she, I don't know if it's because she knew that because like, I mean, but I don't know. Everyone's saying, oh, they owed it to her. They owed it to her to have this. But she didn't do a lot. Like, there should have been a lot more coming from Scarlett for this movie and, like, really staking your claim in the, like, MCU. But, like,
totally.
Florence just, like, she totally carried this whole movie. Like,
or
she
go out with a bang or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I wanted to watch her the whole time because she's hysterical. She's a fucking badass. And like, she don't give a shit about anything. And like, yes, she has some daddy issues.
Don't we all?
But don't we all? And like, she just like, I'm sorry, but like, I'm just like, I can't wait for her to get her own or to be added into because I think she's going to be a huge part in this. We lost a lot of people on the last one. So there are some people that are gone. So like, it's the new fresh faces that are going to be coming in.
Well, can anybody remind me how she died in the...
She fell off a cliff into the abyss.
Well, no, hold on.
Clouds.
So remember at the end...
Sacrificed herself.
When Julianne Dreyfus... Wait, Julianne... What the fuck is her name?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
We're talking about two completely different movies. No, because Natalie asked her how she died, right?
No, and I'm telling you, hold on.
Okay.
At the end of the snippet...
Calm down.
At the end of Black Widow, she comes in when she's at Natasha's grave. And she's trying to, like, you know, talk to her about
whatever. Oh, they were in Natasha's grave? Did not get that.
Oh, my God.
Did not get that. Did not get that.
And she's trying to say that Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner, killed her.
Yeah.
And that is not true, if I have this correct, because at the end with Endgame or whatever, to get the Infinity Stone that they needed to get, one of them had to die, Hawkeye or Black Widow.
Okay.
And he drew the straw that he was supposed to go. And then remember at the end, she pushed him back and she dove off.
Okay.
So she's gone. Got the Infinity Stone.
I needed the reminder of what
happened.
I mean,
the Marvel people are going to be so pissed at us, the fans, because we're not.
No, I got that right.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I got that right.
No, I'm remembering that. And I just was like, wait, how was... Jeremy involved in like what happened? I was like, I don't think he did something naughty.
No, he was gonna go, and she stood in and took it for him.
I mean, I feel like the more important question is, where the fuck did Julia Louis-Dreyfus come from?
Because she's been in the shows.
Yeah, she's been
which in is it. Why I think she's Florence is getting a show. That's yes. That's my suggestion.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Your suggestion?
My thought.
Natalie's recommendation, if you're listening.
I don't. Jesus Christ. It's my second martini.
Okay. Well, this is my prediction. Turn now,
that's the word.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, like, Florence carried this whole movie. David Harbour is hysterical. I'm so obsessed with him. I love you, Rachel Weisz, but what happened to your face? I really don't understand what's happening.
Oh,
there,
are we going into your. I wasn't done.
Yeah. Well, I'm going.
Well, no, because I actually
want to say.
Can we pause though for a second and talk about this? Because I have a note here about how much I love Rachel Weisz, but this was not the role for her. Like, I did not enjoy her in this movie at all. I thought I don't know why, what her purpose was. I know she was like the mom or whatever, but it wasn't for me. And I'm going to disagree with you, and I'm going to let you talk about the father, but I thought that the actor and the performance he was so dopey, so stupid. I did not enjoy him at all. He was completely miscast for me. I did not enjoy his performance.
He's supposed to be like that.
Did not enjoy
Francis.
Did not enjoy him. I loved Francis.
Okay, whatever.
Loved her.
Francis.
Loved her. Love Francis. Love me some Francis Pugh. The fuck ever. Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. Rachel was fine. I think she just like was a filler. Like, I don't think she has any part.
But she's so good, though. She's so good, and she's so beautiful.
I know, but I don't think she has any part after this. And, like, I actually liked where she went with it, because I was getting real pissed at her, because I was like, this fucking bitch. But then, like, I was like, oh, okay, great. She's actually helping. Spoiler. And then, but for me, I'm like, David Harbour is great, and I hope to see him further, like, carrying through with Francis, a.k.a. Florence, into the next, like, world that they can come in, or I don't know how, but like, I think he was hysterical, and that's what you love about Marvel, is because they're also funny.
Mm-hmm.
He is funny. He plays into his.
I did not find him to be funny.
Body that used to be a super soldier, but like been in jail and like ate too many hot dogs or something. Like, I don't know. Like, he just like hysterical. Like, he's so funny. But I have a love for him outside of this. So maybe that's just my thing.
It's funny. You obviously have held the torch for him out of the two of us. And I still, like, I never got it sexually. I was like, yeah, I think he's funny. But surprisingly, in this movie, I got it a little bit more.
This is the one where you get.
I don't know why I did not hit this pop.
Okay,
I
almost fell out of my chair. Wait a second.
Didn't do it for me. Sorry. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I feel like you're having a moment.
I think he was funnier in this. Like, I thought he was really funny. And like,
no, he's super funny in this.
Yeah. So like, that gets
me. As Hopper, Stranger Things, he is much more, he's not as funny.
No.
But he has way more sex appeal, I feel like, as Hopper. But like, that's great that he was definitely funnier in this. So I understand that you like the humor part of everything. I get that. But I'm happy that you're on the train, because like, there's
I don't know if I'm like on the train, but I think I opened the caboose.
Natalie's in the caboose.
You're running alongside.
I opened the app and I put the ticket in the cart.
Okay, so I think great.
I love the digital reference, because we're in 2021. Thank you for not going to the counter and like buying a paper ticket.
That was my first thought, and I was like, I should not date myself.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
update
that.
Update this reference.
All right, let's move on. I just
want to say, did anyone not feel like they wanted to go back and like watch all the Marvel movies in order now?
No.
Not in order of when they came out, but in order of like the story.
Did not.
Oh, I absolutely. It's on my list. I'm going back because now I'm like, I'm in it. I want to like know more.
One of my notes is that I feel like the last 20 minutes, I feel like were some decent action and effects. And Natalie, I think, probably doesn't like the computer generatedness of it.
It actually looked really good.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to add, this actually looked a lot better than I was expecting it to look. So it's like, the flying in the air fighting.
How could they be in the air that long though? I was like,
that's been in the air for like 20 minutes. I just don't like that when they have such great like fighting hand-to-hand combat skills. Yeah. I want to see that, seemed a bit ridiculous. It could have
taken place on the ground. I get that they were what they were going for with the falling in the sky for 20 minutes, but I'm like, you would have been on the ground by now. I don't know. For me, I just feel like this was not on par with the other Avengers movies in like any way. Like acting, directing, cinematography, yeah. Nothing about it was Avengers for me. It was missing
the classic Marvel.
Yeah. And I just, honestly, I think my general assessment of this is I was whelmed.
It was almost like it was rushed, right? Let's rush to get this.
Mm-hmm. When they had like an extra year to post-produce it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this before we move on?
Florence.
I mean, honestly, like when she made fun of the pose, I was like, I don't care what happens the rest of the movie. That was great. Like that just kind of like set the bar for like, great, this was a good movie. Good job. Like she just was so fucking flawless in that.
Yeah. She's incredible. She's great.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Let's do scores. Natalie.
Yeah,
3. Okay, I'm at a 3 too.
I'm at a 3.
I'm at a 3 as well. We're all 3s.
Movie, especially if you like Marvel, like everyone's you'll enjoy the movie. It's not.
What I would say about this is like when it's on Disney Plus for people who don't have to pay $30 for it, which will be in like October or something.
Then it will be a thing.
Then I think it's worth watching. Yeah. I don't think it's worth spending $30 on this. Or if you're like, if you're brave enough to go to the movie theater right now and you've got like the AMC, what do we call it?
First class.
If you got AMC first, I canceled mine, so who knows when it'll be. Yeah, but I think that maybe it's worth it. Like I don't know, I just don't think it's worth $30 personally by itself.
But, not right now.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not.
All right, let's move on to A Quiet Place. Quiet Place. Part 2. Didn't we do the same thing? I think that joke retired itself after the first time we did this episode.
We did.
Part 1. Okay. That's how long we've been doing the show, guys. We have sequels coming out now.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my God. What a big, big deal.
That's great.
I love
it. Kind of. But then also, okay,
let's celebrate it, Sean. Let's not be party pooper, Francis.
Cheers, Francis. Florence.
Oh, my God. She's not even in this movie we're talking about.
I wish she was in this movie because let me tell you. Ooh, this is a tough one. So Natalie, you saw this in the theater, and I don't necessarily want to let you go first again, but I think maybe since you saw it in the theater, maybe you've got a different perspective than Lena and I might. And I don't know what you thought about this, Lena, but I'm curious to get your perspective as someone who saw it in a theater, quiet darkness.
Get it.
tell us what you thought of A Quiet Place Part 2.
This was my first foray back into going to the theater.
Okay, so let's talk about that for just a second.
That's why I brought that up.
I think there's an... Well, I'm the narrator, so I'm going to help flesh this out a little bit. But I want to know about your experience, like, save for the movie. I want you to talk, and I'm sure you're going to do that anyway, but I have to nudge the audience a little bit. What were you thinking as you sat down in a chair inside of a dark movie theater with strangers?
And how many people were there?
I know because she texted me on like Tuesday before the Saturday that she went, and she's like, "Yeah, it's gonna be great. There's only like two other people that booked a ticket." I was like, "Natalie, you booked a ticket on a Saturday, and it's Tuesday. Give it time.
Oh, Sean, I'm so glad you asked that question. I feel so unprepared to answer. Let me collect my thoughts. Well,
let me read your notes here.
It was a very weird experience, and like you had spoiled part of my story, that when I purchased the tickets when I purchased it, I was the only person in the theater, and I was like, fuck yes. And then
on a Tuesday, just putting that
on a Tuesday
there.
And then I checked again, I think on like Friday. And there was only two other seats booked in the back row. And I was like, fuck, yes, my plan is working. And this movie had been out for quite some time. So
it had been out for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It had been
really? That's it?
Yeah, it had been out for 2 weeks.
Time is confusing lately.
I understand. Totally get it.
My guess is 2 months. I really...
Oh my God. This movie actually came out in April.
I really that it had been out,
it came out in January.
I can't even see, my eye is twitching so much. Okay, so I saw it on Saturday before July 4th, and I was like, it's such a nice weekend, people are going to be doing outside activities,
never mind the Delta variant.
I walk into the theater, and oh, to my surprise, is every seat fucking taken. And it's in the middle of the trailers because I got there a couple of minutes late.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Did you get any concessions? That's what we all are doing.
No, I didn't want any snacks.
Okay.
And so I spent a good portion of the movie like uncomfortable sitting next to a stranger shoveling popcorn in his mouth. And it was just like
your favorite.
And because I was by myself and there's two people next to me that I don't know.
Yeah.
And it just like it felt, and nobody had masks on. And it's like, it felt too dirty. Soon for it to be that full, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, it was. And yeah, aren't they supposed to recliner separate chairs and stuff? Will they sell tickets? I thought so.
Oof.
I think we're back at like 100% indoor capacity without restrictions. Yeah, so I feel like they're not doing any of that. But it just felt, I felt like I couldn't relax and enjoy myself very much. Like I was just kind of like clutching and holding onto my purse very tightly and not
trying really not to breathe.
Yeah. And like not paying attention to the movie as much as I had wanted to. Like, cause I think I just had a different experience pictured in my head of what that was going to be and kind of, and it was like a daytime movie. So it wasn't like I'm going out to see a movie on Friday night. So it just wasn't what I wanted it to.
Oh, I miss that so much though. Don't you miss going to movie opening night on a Friday night?
And honestly, the bipolar feelings I have of like just waves of like, I'm excited, but I'm scared and I'm nervous and like, but I miss this and I want to do it again. Like it just, I'm all over the place. Riding that, you know, roller coaster in the middle of the theater, just like not sure how I feel of like, I enjoyed this and I enjoyed seeing trailers and I want to see these movies. And that being such a big part of our lives for such a long time.
Yeah.
And not having it again, like it was, there's a big sense of nostalgia of being able to finally do it again. And I really appreciate it. But then also like, I'm wildly uncomfortable. I did this too, you know, so there was, I had a lot of thoughts.
Were you at Universal?
Did not pertain to the movie. Yes, at Universal.
So I just want to say that like my, you know what? I hope that someday we get to go back to the movie theater where it's like a stress-free experience for everybody and a COVID-free experience for everybody. But I just want to say that like my last, I'm actually really happy about this because my last experience in a movie theater was with both of you. And we saw, we actually saw a movie and we came back to my place and recorded the episode right afterward. Mm-hmm. It was for The Invisible Man. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful that that was my last theatrical experience because that was the perfect movie to see in the theater, right? Like you needed to see that movie in the theater. It was so good. We loved it. So like, I don't know if that's what has to live on in my memory forever.
It's a good memory.
I mean, I hope it's not going to be forever.
I mean, I hope it's not too.
You know, part of me felt like, okay, stop being a scaredy cat and go live your life. Obviously, a lot of other people are doing it and you need
yeehaw, to come on. Bitches, we doing you it. Know?
And then I think this last weekend.
Did you just yeehaw, Lena? Is Texas already having an effect on you?
She's a Texan.
Oh my God.
And I think this last
always been, but still.
Week or two have been a little bit of a kick in the throat of like, I can't do that quite yet. You know,
I mean, the last couple of weeks in LA, though, have been kind of scary because we have like a resurgence here. It's getting really bad. There's breakthrough cases. We all know people that have gotten COVID that are vaccinated. Like it's a lot. So I get that.
I mean, that's a side note, but like you got a big international airport there.
We do. So Natalie, what did you think of the movie though? Were you able to enjoy it at all enough to like experience the film?
Well, it's good that it was sort of a suspenseful thriller if you were like suspenseful and thrilled to be there.
I mean, yes, those are good notes. And I think that's, let's put it this way. Maybe I wouldn't have liked the movie as much as I did had I seen it at another time or had I seen it at home.
I can vouch for
and
that.
And I still say that in a sense where it's, I didn't like it that much. You know, and I had my issues with the first one. I did like it. It's hard for me to totally knock original horror thriller type movies because I do think like there's something fun about it. The idea of this movie was always fun, but there's plot holes and pieces that are very irritating, you know, and this one in particular, there were certain things that I found annoying and obnoxious.
I was screaming at the TV a lot.
Yeah. And a lot of moments where it's like, why are we doing this? You know, mm-hmm. like just to have this device to separate these people and da, 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 da. And there was a lot of moments of like, this is just used to create this situation. It really doesn't make any logical sense why this is happening. And, you know, one thing that was, I was so excited about the idea of like going back and seeing day one of this happen. And so my expectations for that were probably too high. And
did you know that was coming? Because I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
It was in the trailer. It was in the trailer.
I don't remember.
That was the whole teaser, was her driving that Volvo.
Oh, that's right.
The bus coming at them. The whole trailer was the first. That's right. Like, we didn't.
But I don't remember. I don't remember that being a reference to it being day one. I mean, I guess you could assume that, but I
that it was day one.
Yeah, that's fair.
So what was irritating to me is that like we have been in this world with these things for 45 seconds to maybe 90 seconds. One, your family is right there. You are so close to them and you're choosing to take your daughter and run the other direction. Yeah. Like you're already like, I'm just, the car was right there where they crashed into the light post and just seemed like that. I can't believe you're going in a completely different direction.
You than left
going
to help your them. Wife yeah. and the rest of your family.
Like it just, it was so
typical
shocking.
John Krasinski. Sorry.
It was just such a shocking choice to have them be so close. And then for him to make that decision of like I need to get
towards
us to
their direction.
Yeah, it was just like that. The bar that you're trying to go to is so much further away than where this car is. And there's no monster by the car. Like that monster is gone. It was weird. And then we get into the bar. Do you know what these things are? I don't know what these are. How do you know the rules? And he tells her to shh. How the fuck do you know that they know? That was just irritating to me. We're just like, I get it. You want your fucking trailer moment of John Krasinski shaking and dirty going, shh, you know, it's just like, come on.
Oh, I disagree
with
you.
Way more scared than everybody.
I think that you would walk into that scenario.
Way more scared than everybody.
You would say, shh, like shut the fuck up because you don't want to make any sound just in case they can hear you.
I don't
feel like you needed to know the rules for that. I don't think
that's irritated.
Applicable.
I think his. John? Were you?
Yes. And I think. Were you? Yes. I think it was his performance in that felt very knowing and like we were back on that farm and we've been years into it. Like that to me, it wasn't like delivered in a sense of like, I don't know. It just felt very much like, how would you fucking know that right now?
Huh. And I would assume that anytime you don't want someone to find you, you would shh. Like that would be your immediate
monsters.
Instinct.
How do you know? You don't know anything.
But you don't want them to hear or see you.
Also, though, when you're around a monster, you don't want to breathe. So, like,
yeah,
I get that part.
Yeah, same.
You just want to be as quiet as possible.
I don't know. I just hate, it was so fucking obnoxious. It was just, like, very, like.
His performance was obnoxious.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, I get there's ways of, like, telling her to, like, be quiet or whatever. But it was just, that was, like.
Yeah.
It was, like, so, like, we, melodramatic way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Anyways, but there's a lot of moments that I just felt like big fucking fat eye roll, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's show the towel on the thing. And da, 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 da. And guess what? I guess they're going to get stuck in there. And then they get stuck
at the
in there. It's just like so frustrating. And then it's like, and then I'm like, Cillian Murphy, I like him. Why do you have this towel contraption? You are the only person that is getting in and out of here. When do you need to close this thing fully with somebody in there? You know, I don't know. Why don't you have more permanent?
He closes it.
Why don't you have a more permanent solution other than this like slippery towel that may not make it?
That's why he has the timer. He has a whole system. I know, you mock my Killian, okay? Like he looked damn good in those damn Levi's, okay?
Okay.
And then it's just like, there was just so many, there was a lot of, and then it just felt like everything was moving slow and let's just go here and let's wait and just take our fucking time. And then we're going to walk through this part of the radio station at a snail's fucking pace. And it's just like, I just couldn't.
Natalie, 1 to 10. How drunk are you right now?
Like a 6.
Okay, that's fair. It's yeah. more than half.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Nah.
Okay.
I'll contribute to what you guys say.
Okay. I personally, it's funny, I'm going to take issue with some of what you just said because I personally really enjoyed the opening scene. I appreciated that them giving you kind of more context in regard to the backstory and kind of where they were in the beginning of everything.
I don't disagree with you. I like the opening scene. I hated that moment.
Okay. I also felt like it was really nice to see John Krasinski. I wasn't sure how or if they were going to be able to work him into this one because obviously, you know, spoiler alert, he dies in the first one. I will also say, and like, again, I'm watching this. I didn't see it in the theater. I can imagine it was much worse in the theater, but like my home theater is pretty nice these days. And for a movie called The Quiet Place, it was very, very loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was so many like excruciatingly loud scenes in this film. Also I want to say I did not remember that the daughter was deaf, so that was an interesting introduction to her again.
Oh.
I didn't like the moments where they turned the sound off completely so that you could hear the daughter's perspective.
Oh, I liked that.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I don't know. That wasn't working for me.
I wish they would have stuck to it a couple more times or a little bit longer. I liked it. I thought it was a really interesting because then you felt like
it's not nonsense in your ear.
Yeah, it felt like you lost your senses too, and you're with her, you know?
Huh, maybe. I don't know. So I got kind of bored while I was watching this movie. And this is where I think it comes into play of like watching a movie in a theater, you're not going to like get on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that maybe that it lost me to some extent. But I started reading reviews of that other people because I was like, am I the only person that's kind of bored in this? Like, I don't know. I didn't find it all that entertaining. And I came across a review that I loved and wanted to highlight. And I forget, I can't attribute who wrote it, but if you wrote it, kudos to you because it's hilarious. This person said, I can relate to the characters in this movie because I too want everyone to shut the fuck up. And I kind of thought like, yep, it's pretty much how I feel about life these days. I don't know. I personally felt like the first one had a more haunting vibe to it, if you will. Yeah. And I also thought that it had an element of like uncertainty, which could possibly lead to a sense of hopefulness, if that makes sense. And this one just felt hopeless from like start to finish. Like, I don't know. I feel a certain sense of surrender in films like this because there's a part of me that's like, do you really want to be a survivor in this world? Like, watching what these people are going through just to stay alive and just to get to what? Like, what are you going to get to that's going to be like a better life, right? Like, society is pretty much gone.
They're lame and dramatic. That's
there's nothing to live for.
All those other people were living great lives on that little, spoiler alert, island.
Little island.
I mean, maybe.
Bonfires and like cooking hot dogs in the middle.
Okay, but like until they weren't though, right? Like,
because of these fucks.
Sure, I don't know.
Their life.
I don't know. I just feel like this, like in a movie like this, like what exactly are you trying to survive for? I guess that's kind of like the thesis of my review. It seems like your death is inevitable. And so it just, for me, it just felt like there was this hopelessness throughout this entire film. And I don't like watching a movie where I just feel hopeless for everyone involved. So I don't know. At the end of the day, it didn't feel like this enhanced or really added anything to the original. And I think that's what you want a sequel to do. You either want to be in that world again because you enjoyed it so much, or you just don't care. And I think for me, I almost would have just preferred that they like re-released the original with the opening scene from this film and called it a day.
I mean, I think it would have been nice to spend more time in those first few days of it. I think that's part of like the world of like The Walking Dead and stuff like that are like so interesting was like season one, you know, and it's like, I know he woke up in a coma or whatever. Also like 28 days later.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's part of the fun exploration of like, what is this world? So like the least fun part is we're 400 and something days past and we're
474.
And you know, we've hit this like another fucking roadblock and apparently always refuse to wear shoes fucking ever. I don't understand the point of that. Yeah. And also just walk in the grass.
How is it quieter without shoes? It's not.
It's like they're walking without shoes on the crunchy shit when there's grass along both sides.
Those are called leaves. Thing.
It's the fucking same. Have some shoes on.
I also felt like this movie to me felt like it took place over like the span of a single day. Whereas like the first one felt like a much longer period of time. I don't know if that was just me, but it felt like it was happening really fast. And I also want to say, and I'm sorry, kill the fucking baby. Like, it's such an unnecessary part of this story. Like, I get that it builds the suspense and it's like scary of like, oh my God, the baby's going to cry. What are we going to do? But like, it's so stupid. Like, I think I've said this in the review for the first one, but I'm like, why the fuck would you have a baby in this scenario, in this environment? You can't make noise.
Pray and spray. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Doing your deed in this girl.
Like, seriously though. Like, what the fuck? Like, why would you have a, like, you know for a fact that you can't make sound. You can't make any sound. So you're going to have a baby? And the fact that baby's in this one too, I'm just like, dear God, why would you just, like, sacrifice the baby? Like, it's not going to help you survive. Sorry, like, just, I don't know.
I mean, there were a couple times when I thought that thing was going to suffocate anyways in this fucking box they're carrying around.
Oh, with the fucking oxygen mask or whatever?
Give me a break. I don't know. Oh, you found an infant fucking oxygen mask?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It did not.
I also, when did she get in these red sweatpants? Did that bother anybody?
The red sweatpants. I didn't notice that.
Because I thought she was in a dress, and she was in a dress the whole first fucking movie.
Yeah.
Thought she was in a dress when she got to this fucking place when her ankle hit the thing. I think I would have remembered. You mean
when she stepped on the nail?
No, when her ankle hit the cord when they get to this place.
I keep wanting to call her Kate Winslet. Emily Blunt?
God.
I don't know.
Lena has not given her run through.
I don't think you guys care about my opinion.
We do. Lena, tell us what you thought. I
think I might actually shock you guys.
You liked it?
We don't need the first one at all. Take that one away. Just give me this one. Give me any fucking context.
I'm just going to stop you right now really quick.
In the middle.
Because you were resistant to watching this. I just want to say. You were resistant
because
to this.
I despised the first one. It was torture making me watch the first one. I hated it very much. Huh. I didn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy what's his face. I love Noah. John Krasinski. I think he's great. He's
in Noah Jupe.
One of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm. Is it Jupe or Jupe?
Jupe.
Okay.
I think maybe, I don't know. I love him. And I think Millicent, I think she's fantastic. I think she looked so much more beautiful in this movie, all grown up a little bit. I really enjoyed her. I think she was doing great. I love the kids. I love them. Killian, I was like, thank you for adding him because he's such a better actor. Like, I know he's in 28 Days Later or whatever, and it's kind of the same thing, but he does it so well. And like, you know, when he's in the baseball field and he's got the trucker hat and he's just so hot. And I'm like, thank God. And I'm like, someone else to look at besides fucking what's his
name? Kate Winslet.
No. What's his name on The Office?
John Krasinski.
No, but like on The Office, he has a stupid name. Jim. Anyways, it's not a stupid name, but whatever. It's a stupid character. And honestly, I enjoyed this movie because I was like, he's not in it besides the first fucking scene, which annoyed the shit out of me. Everything that you said, I was like, he's being so fucking dramatic right now. He is way overacting than anyone else in this fucking scene. I'm like, get out of here. I don't fucking need you. Like, I don't need this. It was great to see like that, but you showed me the whole thing in the trailer. I don't need to see this. I know what fucking happened now because I've seen the trailer for a year and a half because this movie was supposed to come out a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Like, I've already seen it. Like, move past this. Let's go. I will tell you what I enjoyed about it mostly is because when they separated and you were seeing two different things. So this stupid dumb lady is back with her dumb baby trying to be quiet, not walking around barefoot, like not protecting your kids. Like, I'm sorry, but like put shoes on them and like whatever. I don't care. That whole story, I don't care about. I love that the girl went off on her own and that Killian had to go after her. And then you see a different world. You see like other things and they're kind of like going back and forth, like similar things are happening. And the girl's like basically like, spoiler, like saving the world or whatever. And I was like, I loved that part of it. I wanted to see more of her and doing that, because like, she's so great and she didn't have to say a word. And that's what I also liked about it, is because you don't have to fucking say anything. Mm-hmm. And then when they get to the island, spoiler alert, which we've already said, and Dimanjoo comes out, however you say his name, I was like, oh, fuck, great. Another fucking one of these actors who thinks he's gonna fucking enhance this movie. No, you're not. Like, I don't need you to be, it could be any Joe Schmo that fucking is there. Like, it doesn't matter who's on this stupid island or whatever, because we know chaos is gonna ensue. And what's his face from Argo was the crazy guy on the pier. And I was like, who is that guy? Who is that guy? Who is that guy that was the crazy one that tied him up?
Oh, I don't even remember.
He's from Argo. He's like the cute little like Scott McNeary or something, oh, whatever his name is. I was like, oh my God, I had to look it up. I was like, I love his face. I mean, he didn't do much in there. He was barely in it. But I enjoyed it. As a standalone movie, I don't need the first one because I hated it. I was like, but if you put this in there, and I did not know anything about the first one, this is enjoyable because you don't know what the fuck is going on. It's still.
Huh. So did you need to watch the first one to see this one?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you need the first
Interesting.
One. It's totally useless.
You don't know how she discovers what.
Yes, you don't
them.
Know that. You don't know that.
You'll pick up on that.
You could totally pick up on that.
Yeah.
Or add one little scene that takes out some other stupid fucking scene that they put in there to show that. The towel shit annoyed me.
It felt like they had to create these scenarios because Emily couldn't be available to do a whole movie and Noah couldn't be available
to do
a whole
movie. Fuck her, then don't do the movie with her.
Kate Winslet?
No, yes, Kate Winslet is amazing, and compare her to Emily.
Winslet wouldn't be caught dead in this movie. Let's be clear about that.
Because God. Noah's in like 1,000 movies, so it's like, I'm wondering if it's his schedule too. I love him. He's in everything.
He's in 4
But this was their schedule like, what, 3-4 years ago?
I mean,
this movie was filmed
like, oh my God,
a long
he's not
time
even
ago.
That much stuff, but I love him. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah, but he was in a ton of stuff that came out right before this came out, so I'm pretty sure they were filming and the first one. So I'm pretty sure he's been filming shit. And he probably doesn't even have a life. He just goes to set and works all the time.
I looked at his thing and I was like, oh, he actually hasn't been in a lot of stuff. But no. I recognize him every
Maybe time. I just watch everything he's been in and feel like he's constantly working.
Yeah, I have too. That's what I thought too when I looked it up. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's like 5.
Is there anything you haven't watched over the last year and a half, Natalie?
Tons of stuff.
Okay.
But to me personally, the version of this movie that I would have enjoyed more was like the beginning, close to how it was. And then the mom and baby dying. And then it's just the kids discovering Killian, not having to do this whole thing. And then they just go on this adventure with him. You know,
these selfish cunts, John and Emily, the stars of the fucking everything, and like pretend like they're the fucking A-list royalty and you're not.
Okay.
We're not going to tag John Krasinski in this post.
I don't care if I don't like him. If you guys,
John,
like him,
if you're listening, I loved The Office
so much. I don't care.
Big fan of The Office.
So funny.
You guys are not nice in persons, and we all know that. Anyways,
oh my goodness.
I'm just saying, we don't need them. Like you should. Yeah. Like, don't be selfish. You have these wonderful child actors. Like, make it about them.
I think that would have been a much more fun story to just,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Because her going back for the medicine and like, and the oxygen and all of that crap.
It's just to get her fucking face on the screen.
It was just irritating.
See?
Okay. So, Lena, I'm confused though. You said you liked it?
I liked it. I did because I can pass by that stuff. Like, that stuff annoyed me, but I was like, it is a good movie. These things annoy me, yes. But I'm like, again, you don't need the first one. I don't need that one. This one was, if people had never watched the first one and they watched this, I think that they would enjoy it. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that you need all of that stupid backstory or part of the 365 days that you missed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you need it. You're jumping right in. Like Walking Dead, you jump right in. You don't fucking know. You're just fucking there.
Okay. In the future, I'm going to need you to lean into the microphone since this is a podcast. There you go. You're like leaning back, relaxing, enjoying your life.
Well, because I'm mad.
I know.
Because
her arms are going everywhere. She needs room for her arms.
These flailing arms.
All right. Are we ready to score this thing?
Confusing as to who the Italian is.
Can we score this, please? Because I just, I'm done talking about this movie. I'm done talking about this movie. Natalie?
3.
Yeah, I'm a 3-2. 3 as well. I think you have to, like, it's free on Paramount Plus. So if you subscribe to Paramount Plus, watch it. It's fine. It is what it is. I don't recommend spending money, extra money for this. Again, maybe if you're a, what is it called?
First class.
First class member, AMC First Class. Go watch it there. I don't know. I just, it didn't feel to me like it was worth waiting a year and a half for. I think that's, I was so hyped for this movie. It was supposed to come out like literally like right before the pandemic hit. And I was excited then. And I think my excitement had waned so much over the last year and a half that when I finally got to it, I was kind of excited still. But I was like, this was not waiting a year.
Well, worth maybe that's what happened to me, because I was never excited about it. I was there, like, you guys would force me to fucking watch this fucking sequel to the fucking thing I didn't like. Maybe. And then I had not thought about any of it. And so then when I got into it, I was like, oh, this one's not bad. Mm-hmm. I'm a 2.
So
we got a 3-3 and a 2.
3-3-2. Okay, cool.
I mean,
or 2 and a 3 and 3.
Watch it or not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's fine.
And we're getting another one. So, you know, stay tuned.
What? They're doing a third one?
Yeah, fucking jack off. It's
Oh, I don't know if that's necessary.
Just leave it alone. Leave it alone.
I don't know if that's necessary. We have to talk about that.
I'm also just not necessarily a big fan of sequels of horror movies and stuff. It's like
let it live in the space that it does. Yeah.
Let it be.
The Strangers Part 2. Definitely not.
I don't ever need any of that.
People are
stuff.
Dead. We don't need to. It's done.
Okay. Come up with a new idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is fun. I'm glad we actually got to talk about actual movies again.
It felt nice great. To watch. Yeah. Like big, nice movies. You know?
Yeah.
Nice big movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm done with my martini.
Nice big movies.
Yeah, I'm done with my wine. I need to fill up. Bye-bye.
As always, we want to thank you for listening. For more information, please be sure to visit themartiniscale.com, where you can find links for all of our social channels, in addition to show notes and more.
If you haven't already, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review us. It helps others discover the show.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers. Bye.